The next piece I want to look at is what kind of things can go wrong with the brain and the nervous system.
So as usual, our disclaimer, this is not medical advice, and when you talk to people about brain chemistry, it's especially important that you tell them that you're just educating them, because weaning people off of medications for brain chemistry stuff, depression, anxiety, et cetera, is not only a bad idea because it's not legal within your scope of practice, but it could be dangerous. It's things that you have to move really carefully with. So when they learn stuff, a lot of people want to jump in and say, oh, I'm just going to get off my meds and do this. And they really do need to be careful, wean off of meds slowly, and make sure that they're working with a doctor that can help them to wean off. So really be careful in this area, because it's an area where people, they hate being on psychiatric meds because of the side effects and the way that resistance happens, develops over time, and they have to change them and up the doses, and it can be really a nightmare. And if they feel like you've got some answers for them that to help them to correct underlying dysfunction and disturbances, then they oftentimes want to jump on it rather quickly. Sometimes that works, and other times it can backfire. So be careful with that.
So you can have neuroinflammation, very, very serious, very common thing that happens where the brain actually gets inflamed, doesn't work properly. I would like to add a whole section on neuroinflammation, but I didn't have time to put that piece together. So there's a lot of information I've been gathering about that. Neurotransmitter deficiencies, which we've been talking about, but also improper nerve firing. And there are certain things that are required for the nerves to fire properly, and one of those is oxygen, and one of those is glucose. Then the postsynaptic neuron dysregulation, we talked about things that actually create resistance in those receptors on the neuron. But also, if the postsynaptic neuron is not transmitting the signal properly, then you can have issues with the neurotransmission. And also nerve damage, so damage to the nerve itself. And nerve cells are pretty sensitive to damage, and they're also slow to heal and slow to repair, unlike, say, skin cells or the small intestinal cells. Brain cells are very slow to repair. Headaches can certainly be related to issues with brain, with trauma, with neuroinflammation, with vascular issues, with muscular things. So headaches are multifactorial in their causes. So brain and neurotransmitter imbalances, like we all know, depression, anxiety, that can be related, obviously, lack of focus, schizophrenia. And it's amazing how many cases of schizophrenia are actually assisted by going on a gluten-free diet and calming down neurologic inflammation. Mood swings, bipolar, and I differentiate mood swings and bipolar. By mood swings are just people who, they're cranky, they're happy, they're cranky, they're happy. Whereas bipolar is very serious and very disparate difference between the moods. Depression to mania, where it's like you're on top of the world and you think you can conquer everything, back to depression. But mood swings are like maybe a mild form of bipolar, maybe have similar underlying causes and effects. I just differentiate them because I wouldn't want to call somebody bipolar because they have mood swings. And then the memory problems, which we've talked about, stress, irritability, agitation, panic attacks. We talked a little bit about loss of motivation and sleep disturbances. So whenever you're doing an intake on somebody and they have any of these symptoms, you always want to look to see if there are any neurotransmitters involved and which ones those might be. All of these things on the list can affect neurotransmitters, and these are some of the symptoms that you can see when people, when they're eating too much sugar and high fructose corn syrup. Remember that the sugar and the insulin creates inflammation that can damage the postsynaptic receptors for the neurotransmitters, and it also affects the way things are taken up in the brain, because we do indeed, contrary to what I was taught when I went to school, we do indeed find that you can have insulin resistance in the brain, and that can lead to Alzheimer's. In fact, Alzheimer's is often called type 3 diabetes. So the sugar will contribute to that, plus the fatigue and aggression and hyperactivity, depression, of course, eating disorders, and dementia. Crusting of the brain proteins, I'm talking about glycosylation. When you have too much sugar, now you measure glycosylated hemoglobin. Well, parts of the brain can get glycosylated. Trans and heated fats, hugely inflammatory. They cause damage to cells, inflammation, and can lead to depression, dementia, and ADD. When people have brain traumas, the statistics show that they're 2.5 to 5 times more likely to develop Alzheimer's. Not sure what the mechanism is for that, but it's statistically significant. Pesticides are known to be neurotoxins and damage various pieces. Preservatives, same thing. Caffeine can lead to anxiety and depression in many ways, talking about the binding with the adenosine receptors, and it affects acetylcholine and norepinephrine big time. Sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation is one of the principal things that affects our memory, and people who are chronically sleep deprived have more incidences of Alzheimer's, of psychosis, of depression, of ADD. And I know that as a temporary thing, when you just find yourself without a lot of sleep, you may find yourself having difficulties grasping and understanding and being present. The whole brain fog issue has a lot to do with neurotransmitters and acetylcholine and memory. Alcohol, as a result of the B vitamin depletion and the effects it has on the hippocampus and the acetylcholine, can lead to dementia. And Alzheimer's isn't the only type of dementia. Alzheimer's has a particular pattern that involves wandering behaviors and aggression that general dementia may not include. Dementia really is really referring to the memory issues. When you do processed grains or your clients do processed grains, the B vitamins have been stripped away and the blood sugars are imbalanced, and that has an effect on your neurotransmitters. Inflammatory foods, of course, the foods that cause inflammation, they call neuroinflammation, they cause damage to the receptors, and that can affect the neurotransmitters and the brain function. And there's a whole long list of drugs that can have a negative effect, and then there's things that can have a positive effect that are often used as drugs, like CoQ10, glutathione, and B vitamins. A few things. We already talked about how cocaine blocks the reuptake of norepinephrine and dopamine. This is related to recreational drugs and how they affect your neurotransmitters. So cocaine blocks the reuptake of norepinephrine and dopamine, whereas amphetamines stimulate the release of norepinephrine and dopamine. So they have the same effect of increasing the amount of norepinephrine and dopamine at the synapse. It's just amphetamines increase the release and cocaine blocks the reuptake. Both, by the way, can lead to receptor resistance. There are a number of nutrient deficiencies that can lead to neurotransmitter imbalances, and we've already looked at some of the pathways, so it's really clear where some of these things come in. The B1, B3, folic acid, B12, and B6, we've looked at the C. Vitamin D has an effect on the blood-brain barrier and all membranes like that, as well as modulating inflammation. Vitamin E support, protective support, chromium as far as blood sugar support, and we know that erratic blood sugar has an effect, a negative effect on neurotransmitter. Iron. Iron was a cofactor for several of the neurotransmitter creation pathways, and choline is a core molecule for the acetylcholine, which is memory. And whenever I say folic acid, I've been trying to update all my slides. It's just so ingrained to say folic acid. Yes, MAO and COMT affects SNPs could definitely affect it.